The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticators Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Ryan Pills.
Apprentice Dan.
Jonah Duke.
In the house!
We did pretty good. Good job. That was good. I asked for a little harmonization. Way to rock it, everyone. Your skills were impressive to Kevin, who I can judge by his face. Missed the memo and the key. Or I missed the key.
I tried to harmonize, but you guys were way off.
I think everyone missed the key. We probably lost three people.
Three subscribers. Yeah. Gone. That's a rough night. Well, hopefully we'll gain some subscribers before the end of the show. Tonight we've been playing games, as always. Several of them are games that are coming to, well, the world. We are going to be demoing several of them at the Spiel Virtual Digital Online Version of the convention, which is going to be this past weekend in real time as you listen to this. But we're going to be doing a bunch of live streaming for that, which will still be on our channel after the event. So be sure to check that out. Let's give them a little bit of a preview of some of the cool stuff that we'll be playing. What were you guys playing tonight?
One of the games that we'll be playing, actually the first game we're playing on Saturday, is Cosmic Colonies from Floodgate Games. Jonah, Melissa, and I were able to play it. And yeah, it's a tile-laying card, it's sort of card drafting in a way that you are passing cards from person to person. I find that interesting because each of the cards has a special power, and as you're passing your good cards away, you're hopefully getting good cards from the player next to you. What do you think, Jonah?
Yeah, I liked it. It actually kind of reminded me of Fort from Leader Games that's come out recently, because you have cards in your hand that you can play from, but then you have to pass cards. So it reminded me of Fort, because in Fort, you've got cards that you play, but then they can get stolen, and it's like a deck builder, but it's not. And this one was like a card drafting thing, but not really. And it was fun, though. No, it is super fun.
The artwork looked pretty neat. You're building out, you're placing tiles on your board.
You're terraforming your planet. Yeah,
the most popular mechanic theme in 2020, I don't know, and 19 put together.
I think it's an asteroid.
Yes. An asteroid.
Definitely an asteroid.
Yeah, terraforming an asteroid. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Let me just take a rabbit trail real quick. Has anybody watched the new Mars series on Netflix?
No.
You guys got to get on the ball. It's a pretty interesting concept.
Waiting for Mandalorian.
Yeah, oh, I'm waiting for that one too. Mars is based in half real time, so it's a half real time documentary that talks about like SpaceX and Elon Musk and preparing to go to Mars. Mixed in simultaneous is what's going to happen in 2033. And so it's like, it's based in reality.
What's happening in 2033?
They're landing on Mars. It's pretty cool.
Are we already in space? I don't know how long it takes.
I think 2016 is when they haven't left yet for Mars, but they're preparing for it.
I didn't know if like Bob
Something,
and Doug.
I don't know what happened in 2016.
Bob and Doug came back safely.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they were still, I don't know how long it takes to get to Mars. So this is
7 months. I've learned this watching the show.
Wow. 7 months.
So there's a guy who's in space now or already was in space for a year.
He came back, I believe.
He came back. I don't know what his name was. He
Bob
wasn't famous
and Doug
enough.
Are they real people? Are those ducks or what are they?
Those were, did you miss that? That was like they 2 were, months ago.
Yeah. The launch that happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched that happen. That was cool.
They
was
went Bob to the and, International to Mars. Space Station. They were on the International Space Station for like 3 months or so and came back.
The future.
The other astronaut, and I cannot think of his name at the moment, he has a identical twin, so he stayed in space for an entire year. And they have been doing testing.
What happened
on
to his other twin?
They left one here.
No,
on Earth.
They left one here because they wanted
so
to
like
see what
test.
The effects were of space being out in space
like
for an
entire
year.
That's like that timeline story where they send one twin into space and the other twin stays here, but because he travels so fast, he stays young. But his twin becomes really old, and when he comes back, he's like his twin's grandson.
What?
Stage. It's really crazy.
That is crazy. I don't think that's happening in this one yet.
But if you go faster than the speed of light, then you'd miss.
You don't age.
You don't.
You get
you
younger.
You age, but
slow faster. We need some scientists.
Yeah, the twins are Mark and Scott Kelly. That's the name.
Oh, you found him. Good job. All right, so that's rabbit hole number one for the episode. We need a sound effect for that.
Back to board games. Board games.
What other board games did we play this week? Ryan, I, Dan, Katie played Dice Town.
Will needs to work on his sentence structure.
We played Dice Town, and I also got River Dragons to the table, both from Matigo. We're going to be... playing those for Spiel Digital. And Dice Town is a game there. You have dice cups. I thought it was going to be like Liar's Dice or something.
That's what it looked like, I'll admit.
It's just reminiscent of that. You roll your dice and then you keep one. And you can pay dollars to keep more or to not keep them. But anyway, you roll dice, keeping one at a time until you keep a set of five. And they've got poker cards on the faces. And then there is there's a town with different storefronts, and each storefront is represented by one of the poker faces. So nines get gold from the mine, tens rob the bank, jacks go to the general store and get a card, queens get to steal from somebody else, kings get to be the sheriff and break ties and take bribes. And then whoever has the best poker hand, they get to get some property cards, which are just straight up points. And then if you don't get any of the stores,
like Will did every other turn,
you get to go to this snake oil salesman, and he sells you an elixir card, which gives you a little catch the leader mechanic boost there.
Except I think we figured out that Will, Katie, and I did not beat you with our combined score. So the catch the leader thing,
we weren't
going to
admit that.
Yeah,
it was not working.
Well, we were all, it was our first time, so some of us didn't catch that you could.
Some of us
didn't catch that you could steal both general store and property cards. So I was focusing on property cards right off. Then when I got some really good ones, I was focusing on stealing as much as I could so that I could keep my property cards.
It was a winning strategy for sure. Well done.
And I managed to get a lot of being able to steal and get more property cards, so I wasn't losing my high point cards, and I think that's what did it.
I thought the winning strategy was going to be to diversify your rolls. Like, oh, nobody's even kept a nine yet. I'm going to keep this nine so I'll get the gold. I'll still have the 10 so I can get the bank, and I'm also going to get three aces. Don't try that strategy.
No, that does not work.
I heard that Will finished with like 5 points, and Katie had like six, and Dan had like eight, and Ryan had 45 points.
I think it was teens,
it was
like 14, but close enough.
Yeah. 16, and then 45.
Yeah.
44. Just 44.
With our
but
three
I also heard
scores combined.
They didn't give you as many points as they should have given.
That's what Katie told us. She said she denied you points that she should have given to you.
Yeah, well, she was keeping her property cards hidden, so I was stealing her general store instead of her point cards.
Mm. Could have been more. Could have been.
Looking forward to doing that on Spiel Digital. Also, we played River Dragons with Dan and Amy, and that was interesting. I haven't played a game like that before. You have a hand of 13 cards, and you can play any of them on any round, but it's a programming game. So kind
of reminds me a little bit of Cult Express.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So although I guess Cult Express, you do draw a certain number, but in this you have them and then you program.
Yeah, so you've got five cards that you're going to play every turn out of the 13, and they are either placing stones down in the river. There's certain points in the river where you can place stones, or placing planks down between two stones, or moving your character, or jumping over another character, or picking up a plank or stone, or I think I got everyone except there's these dragon cards where if that one shows up, whoever else is trying to do something that card, like if you played as your fourth card the dragon card, then whoever you played your dragon card on, they don't get to do their fourth card. So you can kind of mess them up. So it's a little bit cutthroat once you get towards the end because you're like stealing everybody's the planks in front of other people. and you see that they're about to win. So everybody's trying to play the dragons to prevent whatever movement card they lay down. And
my friend Holly got to the point where she was one plank away, and we all just instantly were like, oh, well, she's the target. And even before that, we had a couple where it was like, okay, this person's clearly ahead. We're just going to hammer on them for a little bit.
Yeah, so the point of the game is to connect a path from the village you start in on the bank of the river to the opposite village. So everybody's meeting in the middle, but sometimes you'll get to the point where you'll play a movement card or a jumping card especially, and there won't be a place to move or there won't be a person to jump over, and that is just wasted. Plus, you jump in the river and have to go back to the start. So it can be rough.
It's pretty cool. And we played the basic version where it kind of has rocks in the river kind of as guides for you to put your stones on. But when you flip the board, there's essentially a completely blank river, I guess. And the goal is more placing the stones where you think your planks can reach. And you've got six different length planks. And you're not allowed to measure it out ahead of time. So you have to put your stone out and then say, I think my number four is going to reach it. But if you put it out there and it's short, then that plank is out of the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose.
So once you grab a plank, you can't put it back.
I would be so bad at that, the distance.
But the cool thing is you can steal your opponent's planks off the board and put them into your supply, only one opponent at a time. But that way, if you are missing you can steal that plank, and now it hoses their path, but also gives you something you can use later on.
Okay, I'm back in.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting game. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes in Spiel Digital as well.
River Dragons may or may not be on my shelf of shame, so I really should have came in here and played it. So that way I could learn the rules.
Waiting to be played. Man.
You have a copy, don't you?
I do have a copy.
Cool.
Testing it out.
So Melissa and I have been hiding a game that we actually haven't brought on purpose so that Will couldn't accidentally spoil it. But it is the expansion to Wingspan Oceania.
Ooh, I've heard of this.
I sometimes feel a little left out being at Will's house.
Yeah.
It's all a problem. Miss out with these secret projects.
Go hang out with Kevin and Moses.
You're welcome to come over, Sarah, but Will will never know because he'll accidentally do something, and then we'll never get anything from Stonemaier Games again.
Oh, please, Jamie, don't blacklist us.
It's been close a couple times. Close. But anyway.
Are we allowed to talk about it now?
We are allowed to talk about it now.
Tell us the deets. I want
to play it. Okay, we will bring it. It is the second expansion to Wingspan. The first one was the European expansion. This one, Oceania. If you're not familiar with that concept, that is like New Zealand, Australia, those sort of countries and islands down in that hemisphere. And the game, of course, brings lots of new birds that are known for being in that area. Really cool ones and unique ones that you probably, are familiar with, like kiwis and things like that. But there are some new mechanics that are also introduced.
Yeah, there is a new type of resource, and it's called nectar. It is a wild food, and the game actually comes with five new dice because the dice have nectar on them. And not only are they great for spending as any type of food, but when you spend nectar, you're going to keep your spent nectar on your board. So if you play a bird into the woodland habitat, you're going to put the spent nectar that you used for that bird in that habitat, or if you've used it for other powers related to that habitat. And then at the end of the game, there are points for whoever has the most spent nectar in each habitat. So it's 5 for having the most, 2 points, I believe, for having the second most. So not only is it helping you during the game, but it's also potentially giving you points later.
Yeah, I like the sound of that because, more birds are cool, and I'm sure they're really pretty, but having something to kind of mix it up is a nice twist.
Yeah, another really big thing is because of that nectar mechanic, they created new player boards that has a space for you to put that nectar. They've also changed some of the slots on the board, so egg production is much less. I think the normal board is like 2-2-3-3. There's lots of that. It's like
2-3-3-4-4, something like that.
This new board is like 1-2-2-2-2. It's the last slot that gives you 3. So you're producing fewer eggs on that track. There's also certain spots where you can spend food to wipe the bird tray or wipe the bird feeder.
To reset, yeah.
Reset it. So you have an option to do that before you take that action on some of the slots.
So it sounds like they maybe identified some some issues. Because I know...
You mean egg spamming?
Yeah. Games I've played, you get to the last two, three rounds and you're just like, well, let's just lay a bunch of eggs.
Yeah. That strategy is not as powerful now. There's also a new kind of card, end game
powers
that you're getting victory points on. And so the one could be like, lay eggs on these types of birds that have these types of nests, or cache food on these types of birds that you already have, or play another bird if you have the right food cost. So kind of interesting.
Yeah, so that's one thing you'll do at the end of the game for each of those birds, but it can give you a lot of stuff depending on if you have set it up correctly.
And one more thing, there are a few birds in the new set that are sort of wild wingspan, because you know how sometimes some of the goals are like, if they're this wingspan is this certain, they're have a little asterisk by their wingspan because they're flightless birds. So they're like, it can be any number you want it to be.
So they can't be eaten by hawks?
They can no, be.
They, oh, they
can
will be. They be will eaten.
Because they're any number you want them to be. They're wild.
Are there emus?
There yes. are emus.
And that's one of those birds.
And they can be eaten by hawks?
Yep.
Cool. I want to see that.
National Geographic.
Maybe
I'm sure
it's a whole
out there.
Like flock of them. But yeah, and of course there's more end of the round goals and the private goals in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the expansion makes it better? The same? Different?
It's definitely different. I think it will push people to try different strategies.
That's what I think I like
the
about
egg
it.
Spamming yeah. and trying different things. Some of the cards dealt with, you know, giving stuff to all the players or choosing another player, like you lay an egg and choose another player to lay an egg, those sort of things. So it's giving you choices.
I mean, to me, Wingspan's already an awesome game, so making an awesome game better is very, very difficult in my estimation. I think it just makes the game just as good, so with cool. different strategies.
I think Jonah was listening in very well, and he's hoping that he can beat Chantel finally.
All right.
When he's pushed to a new strategy.
I may or may not be getting beat by my wife very badly every time we put Wingspan on the table, so if you can bring the new expansion over, we'll play it a few times.
Before she plays it.
Oh, there we go. Oh, Jalen's sick again. Sorry, Chantel, you have to stay home.
We'll get some practice in.
Good plan. All right, let's take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Knight Models. They're known for making highly detailed miniatures, and they are bringing a Harry Potter Quidditch game to Kickstarter October 27th. So it's going to obviously have models of the Harry Potter characters on brooms playing Quidditch. Don't know anything about the gameplay, but you can check out Knight Models Harry Potter Quidditch game coming to Kickstarter October 27th.
Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of October 26th, 2020. Start us off, Kevin.
Well, the first game we're talking about is from Colossal Games. That's launching this week on Kickstarter, called B-Movies. And a few of us were able to play a prototype tonight. And this game is all about pitching the right kind of B-movie. You're the screenwriters, and when it's your turn, you are the screenwriter telling all the producers, who are the other players at that time, what is this movie all about? And you have a hand of basically different kinds of cards. There could be zombies or tornadoes or like anything you can think of in a B-movie. You're going to have those kinds of cards, and you're going to put some cards together, 2 to 4 cards from your hand, and you're going to create your own title for the B-movie that you're presenting to the other players. When you present that, I think I had one that was like the magician. Oh, what was it? Something, a magician from the future or something like that. And they had to then, the opponents had to say, is that a great title? Do I want to see that movie? And they had to either vote yes or no secretly, and they all reveal if the no's beat the yeses, then everyone who voted no gets a popcorn token, which are points, 0 to 4 points, as we've found out. Some people draw more zeros than others. And if there are more yeses than no's, then the every player who voted yes gets a popcorn token. There are a couple other rules, but that's the main gist of the game.
Yeah, it was definitely a party game to the greatest extent. I had only terrible titles the entire game. Could not get the right combination of cards. I think I drew the toilet plunger card and the, I don't know what movie I was supposed to make with that one, but there were some good laughs. I did manage to pull it off in the end, though, thanks to my not getting any zeros in my popcorn stash.
I think you got the most popcorns. I had 4 points.
I did. It worked out great.
I don't think you had any zeros. I had like 5 zeros.
You did, yeah. Bad crazy. Drawing. You got to use the drawing skills.
I was just taking popcorn, man.
So maybe those movies really flopped.
You're right.
Mm. Oh, that's what it was.
The toilet plunger movie should have never came out.
The title should have never
been. It sort of reminded me a little bit of like Apples to Apples, where right. you're like, is this a good thing? What do you guys think?
I think the fun would be in the pitch. So if you come up with a funny 3-word combination and then you could sell them on, yeah, these zombies are eating your brains while also formulating nice dining attire, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
I did take a picture of one. This is Melissa's. You would like to say what yours was, Melissa?
No, that one wasn't mine. That must have been Will's. Maybe.
Is it the plunger?
Were you the Nazis one, Jonah?
Oh, that was mine, for sure.
Piranha's invasion. Nero. What's Nero doing?
Nerd.
Nerd. Piranha invasion with nerd Nazis. Is that what it was?
It was something like that. Yeah. It was sounded better when I pitched it.
Right?
It was the piranha invasion of the nerd Nazis, something.
There we go.
It was already better.
I think that is definitely it.
And they wanted it to come straight to TV, just in case you guys were interested.
On Netflix now. Check it out. Nerd Nazis.
Melissa, what do you have?
On October 27th, Breaking Games is bringing an expansion for Asking to Trobles to Kickstarter. It's actually 2 expansions, Trouble Makers and Companions. Asking for Trobles is a worker placement game that plays up to 7 people, and you're basically collecting resources to then turn in these items to capture the Trobles, who are these orange little alien-looking things.
Pretty cute.
That are causing lots of trouble. And then eventually you want to throw them into the sun for points and money. But so the base game, it's worker placement is a type where you can bump someone else. So a spot is never completely blocked to you, but you're helping someone else if you return their ship to them because they don't have to then take a turn to collect all of their ships. Well, the expansions, Trouble Makers is adding Trobots to the game, and they are several types of them that will be coming out onto the different locations, and you can try to capture those and then turn them in a set collection aspect. It reminds me a little bit of Lanterns, where you're trying to turn in certain combinations of cards, so you might need 4 of a type or 2 of one kind and 2 of another kind or 4 different ones, and then you'll get points for turning in those Trobots. You also, when you collect a Trobot, you get to draw a location card, and those are going to be good things that benefit you in the game. So there are more ways to get points and more benefits and bonuses that you can get with the Trobots expansion. And then the other one is Companions, and it brings companions to the game. You can pick them up and put them into your ship. They have quirks, though, so while you're carrying this companion, it may say you can't collect any crystals, or it's going to cost more to do something. So that doesn't sound very good. But while you have these companions, if you take certain actions, you're going to be collecting shards. And these are powerful things that you can turn in instead of resources for some of the Trobles. It comes with a completely new Trobel deck for that expansion. So you're going to want to use those shards. If you drop the companion off eventually where they want to go,
You get to collect all of the shards that you have been accumulating on that card and then get some bonuses as well. You can also decide you want to ditch that companion because they're, you know, causing you lots of trouble. You don't get the extra benefits, but you still get whatever shards that you have accumulated. So Kevin and I played both expansions, mm-hmm. and they brought some interesting things to the game.
Yeah, I think I might like the TrueBots one, the robot one, a little bit better. I think there's a little bit freer with what's going on. There's more stuff going out. The other one felt a little bit more restrictive with the companions, what you can and can't do. So, but some people like that in their games. So,
yeah. But yeah, I often recommend Asking for Troubles to people who want a higher player count game because it's very quick. It plays up to 7. It's also family friendly. So
it looks cool.
It has a very like orange theme going on. And the companions, there's lots of spoofs. So so someone who looks like it might be James T. Kirk or...
But as an orange trouble?
No, as a person. Some of them look like aliens and things like that. Yeah, there might be like Starbuck in there.
Oh, and some others. Now I'm in. Yeah. I enjoyed the base game for that. I did feel like, I mean, it's definitely family weight. So do these up the complexity or do they just give you more options? What's the...
Not by leaps and bounds. Okay. Maybe a little bit of extra complexity, but...
Just more options.
Right.
And they actually don't recommend putting the two expansions together.
Too much power.
It might just be too much going on.
Yeah, some of the things would compete a little bit with each other. But that is Asking for Troubles, the Troublemakers and Companions expansions coming October 27th. Dan, what do you have?
Coming October 27th, we have the King's Armory from Gatekeeper Games. It is a 1-7 player tower defense game with RPG elements in it. It is definitely not necessarily a lightweight game. I wouldn't go straight to heavy, but it's got a lot of, you know, waves of the monsters are coming at you. You are the heroes of the realm. It's completely cooperative, so either you win together or lose together. And you've got your typical, you know, your knights, you've got your mages and wizards and all those different classes that you can be, but instead of having to level up during the game, you are already like the biggest and baddest of the country, so you have all your cool powers available to you. But it's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. We're actually doing a playthrough of it next week, November 5th, if I'm correct.
If you're time traveling correctly.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. You can play solo. You could, I guess, technically do one hero, or you could just manage multiple heroes. It has a really cool drop-in, drop-out mechanic. So if you've got your game group getting together, but somebody can't make it on time, you can still start the game, you can still play, but then in between waves, add that other person in, and the game scales up or down, however you need to go. So they've done a really nice job with that. And this is their second edition. So this is the 7th anniversary for them. They've already done one version of this, and they've gone through and they've said, okay, let's upgrade some of the components. They redesigned the art, the graphic design. Your box is going to be about 300% bigger because they've accounted for
300%.
Minis. Yeah.
The original box was the same size as the Catan box.
That's almost twice as big.
So anyway, so they are bringing in minis. All your heroes are going to have minis. The monsters are going to have minis. They look really, really nice. They've done a good job with those, a lot of detail. And then expansions. They've created expansion content that's basically, I think, twice the size of the base game. So all of that can fit into one box. That's the reason for the box size. But they're doing them in mini expansions, so definitely check that out. If you don't want to just drop a bunch on all of the expansion material, you can pick one or two of the packs, and they come with a couple of heroes, maybe some extra monsters, different things that you can add into the game. And during our playthrough, we'll definitely have some of those expansion characters in there, so you can get a feel for that. So be sure to check that out. And also, over on the Board Games Launching on Kickstarter Facebook page, Sarah did an interview with John Rott. So flip back through that page a little bit. You'll find that interview, and you can find out more about the game from John himself. Jonah.
Yep, coming to Kickstarter on October 27th is Elemies. Self-published, Elemies is a trick-taking game, a card game It's for four players, split into two teams, 2v2. And this game is kind of like a 52-card deck, but it's got a little bit of extra kind of added to it. So there's actually three difficulty levels. There's beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Beginner, you're just going to play with the 52 cards, basically like a standard card deck. But with intermediate, you're actually going to add these special kind of one-time abilities to that deck, shuffle them all together. On the pro level, you're going to actually add some more abilities, basically. But these are more evened out and everyone gets one. These abilities kind of basically supersede the rule set when those are played. And whatever the ability says, that kind of goes for the entire round. The cool thing about LMEs, again, the gameplay is pretty cool if you're into trick-taking games. But one of the greatest things is that the box is actually really aesthetic to look at.
It is pretty.
Yeah, what a good word I thought of. It's like a medium-sized game box, maybe like the size of a tablet.
Letter jam.
Tablet, yep. And you're going to open it up, and it kind of breaks in half and opens and then folds to the back. And then the deck of cards rise to the top. It's pretty cool. It's pretty fun to open and close the box, honestly. There's also a magnetic, heavy-duty, gold kind of first player token that sticks to the box. And that you can pass around as the first player passes.
The thing on the front is the actual coin, or is that a gold?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's the actual.
Yeah. That cool? That's the cool. Actual. I thought that was just like a sticker, and then the coin was inside.
No. It's a magnetic gold doubloon.
Sweet.
That sticks to the front of the box.
And it's pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice first player token.
I kept thinking this would be a great slammer for like Pogs.
it probably would be.
Back in the day.
Yeah, it's a throwback right there. Anyway, LMEs is coming to Kickstarter on October 27th. And I think we got Will to talk about one more.
That's right. I'm looking at the game Endless Winter, Paleo Americans. It is a 1-4 player everything game. There's like everything going on in it. There's deck building.
Very
there's
true.
Area control. There's resource management. There's worker placement. There's
set collection.
It's everything. We did a playthrough of this. It's on our channel. You can check it out. It's coming from Fantasia Games. It may not be there yet. I've already played it on video and it was great. In the game, you've got this huge board where you are purchasing cards from it, and there's kind of these different specialties that you can kind of go into, and you might be a hunter that captures a bunch of cool prehistoric looking animals. You might be trading for fine jewelries and artifacts and things. You might be buying cards. You might be trying to dominate this hex board that you collect resources from at the end of each round. The game takes, I would say, probably half hour to 45 minutes per player. So about a 2-hour game if you're looking at four players. Tons of stuff going on. It's illustrated by the Micho, and so it looks excellent. I mean, it looks like an incredibly finished, polished prototype that we played. You've got your cool minis in it, lots of like cubes and hexes and lots of just different stuff going on. The boards for it are inset, and so as you are tracking your meat consumption and tool usage and how many cool burial mounds that you've been able to collect throughout the course of the game, everything fits nicely into your own little player board. Everybody kind of starts with a different tribe leader, and so they've got not necessarily player powers, but everybody kind of has a different angle that they're probably shooting for right out of the gate. Yeah, really, really slick game. Really beautiful. Check it out on Kickstarter. You don't want to miss Endless Winter, Paleo Americans.
Just one more from Sarah.
Coming October 28th is Sons of Ferial. This is from Tabula Games, and it's a 2-4 player a semi-cooperative game, and it is a Euro semi-cooperative game, which I don't know of too many of those. So I'm interested to see how the gameplay works on this one. I'm not the semi-cooperative is not my favorite genre of games, but maybe as a Euro, it will suck me in. I don't know. We'll see.
We all help build this building together, but I will control it.
That's right. I'll get the points. So in the game, you are controlling a different tribe, and you will be upgrading things. You have little heroes. They have tribal masks, and you can upgrade your little masks. They stick onto the little miniatures. It looks pretty cool. It has very beautiful art, and the components on the prototypes look gorgeous. So I'm interested to seeing how the Kickstarter campaign does on this one, because it has an interesting idea for gameplay and is a very beautiful looking game. So that is Sons of Fairy Elle from Tabula Games.
I thought it was interesting watching Sarah's interview with John. He was just pointing out this was 7 years ago that they started their Kickstarter, and how different Kickstarter has gone from 7 years ago to now. Yeah. He's like, it was just a passion thing, and you threw it out there, and people were like, oh, hey, this is cool. But now if you're not, like, super polished and on top of your game, yeah, people call you out for it.
And call you out, and yeah, you won't fund.
Yeah, it's just fascinating seeing how drastically this has shifted. Because I remember King's Armory First Edition was the first Kickstarter game that I saw where I was like, oh, man.
You were actually like thinking, should I buy it?
I was so close, but I had a kid on the way, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to play this in the near future. So
now I got to play the prototype.
First edition.
Maybe second edition. We'll see.
We got it.
Coming back around. You know what's crazy is that, let's go ahead and take a moment to think back to yonder year. I mean, me and Ryan made a game on Kickstarter when it was just a passion. It didn't work, but you know,
it did work.
The second time.
It did work. There's only six copies left.
What?
In the world.
In the
limited edition.
For sale now.
Could rebrand
it. You need to jack the price up
now. Supply and demand.
There are only six left. We sold them all. That's fantastic. Only took us
time to start another campaign. 19, bring it back.
Second edition.
Ryan definitely wants his game to go. Right. All his designs that he's working on.
It's time. Ryan's
like, well, I keep adding more ideas to it. Like,
Steam Court expansion. I'm ready.
Steam Court.
Oceania. No, you've never seen Opera Nation. What was it? Opera Nation? What was
Opera Nation? Yeah, that was a good start.
Never heard of Opera Nation. What is this?
Yeah, it was a prototype that we were working. One of our first interns, John, we started working on the game together. It was his.
It was his, like, a programming
mechanic. Yeah.
It was a blind programming game where you're trying to get like different parts of an opera, like, and like beat other players out of what you
had
playing.
You had to deal with like laryngitis cards being played on you, and I don't know. It was a little goofy, but it had some great stuff.
Like, was it competitive? Crushed windpipe card?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely competitive.
Take their knees out.
Boy, this is a whole other level.
I should check. The theme to me was really interesting. The gameplay was okay.
Right. We didn't quite get it to the great level.
We just needed more development.
Yeah. A whole new development.
Yeah. I learned a lot about opera while we were doing it, because I was trying to figure out all the different vocal parts and like different cues and things. And it was, you know, if there are any opera lovers out there, they would have liked it.
Intro, we clearly qualify. Right. Clearly. Our singing talents are off the charts.
Know that name.
Did
that
you
tune.
Say the game was going to only be good for opera lovers?
Right. That's what I said.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
We're going to have to put some more thought into this.
Right. Exactly. That's right. Never quite made it out of the gates. I think we did play test it at like Origins with some real people. So like we were getting feedback from actual designers.
Yeah.
And I think no one hated it. So that was, you know, that was step one.
I think they were being nice.
I agree with Jonah.
You couldn't hate it. The typography was too good.
I was going to wait for you to say, I think we play tested it like during intermission at the local opera.
That makes more right sense. On theme. Well, I don't know what all else we've got in the house tonight. I did just realize that this episode is going live right before Halloween. I feel like we kind of dropped the ball on spooky theme night with we went for opera, which was kind of scary, I guess. But we could have been talking about all of those crazy, scary games that we're going to be playing this week.
We could be speculating on the show that's coming out on the same week.
What? Let's speculate. Let's do it.
Mandalorian?
Whoa. Baby Yoda dies.
Oh, no. Ready? Season season two, it's over.
Whoa, spoilers. Whoa.
Baby Yoda is now a teenager.
That would be awesome. Yes, they just
like
jumped
teenage
it up.
Groot. Yes. He's going to have an attitude and everything.
With the Force.
I mean, there's if you've seen the trailer, there's that whole thing where he knows he's about, what are those, like the cluster missiles or whatever he shoots out of his arm? Not Yoda.
Okay.
The Mandalorian.
Oh, I was
like they're in the boxing ring area.
What are they, Ryan? They're like stingray.
And he sees them light up, and then Yoda's like, oh, I'm out of here. Clicks the button and then ducks into his shell. He's already getting more personality.
Right, right.
Cool.
Ryan, what's your best theory? What's going to happen in season two?
Well, I know about all sorts of new characters.
Spoil them. Spoil us. Plug your ears, everybody.
Coming in.
Warning.
So I don't know what's going to go on.
Yeah?
I think there's going to be like a struggle for possibly who's like the rightful ruler of all Mandalorians or whatever.
Ooh.
What about the Darksaber? How's that coming into play?
What I just said.
Whoever has the Darksaber is the ruler of the Mandalorians?
Kind of.
Is that how it rolls?
I think I need to catch up. That's how they've done it before.
If you cut someone's head off, do they die? Oh, sorry. I jumped over to a different storyline.
Isn't Ayala Secure or whatever supposed to be in it? Supposedly, maybe.
Ahsoka Tano?
Yep, her too.
What you were going for there?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they've cast, I mean, Rosario Dawson, or whatever her name is going to be Ahsoka. They have the guy who played Jango Fett is going to be there.
Oh.
I think he's probably going to be Boba Fett, but he might Shouldn't just be a clone Jango? Or something.
Will Starbuck be in it?
Do I need
Jango
to watch...
lost his head, so
Do I need to watch the animated ones to catch up?
If you want the Ahsoka Tana story, you do.
Because, yeah, there's
cool
a lot
the cartoons.
Of references to the Mandalorians and the Darksaber in both the Clone Wars and Rebels that I just don't think people that haven't watched that are going to get.
Going over your head. You don't even know.
I only watched the first episode, so you guys are doing a lot of spoilers for me.
wait, a Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Did you know? Did you not know about Baby Yoda?
I knew about Baby Yoda. Okay. Baby Yoda's in the first episode, so I felt very caught up at that part.
Okay.
So
we haven't really I was in the loop anything. For yeah, one have... second. He didn't know that all.
I didn't know about a Darksaber.
Oh.
I didn't know that is, actually. I apologize. I have never seen all of the movies.
We got to get Jonah into it. We need to have a Star Wars marathon.
Yeah.
You don't really need to watch the Star Wars.
He's only seen
this.
The one with the golden droid.
The golden droid.
Is he silver in one of them?
That is.
There is a silver CP3PO.
Right. Was he gold in most of the episodes, but not all?
No, I'm kidding. That was a reference to the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, I missed that one. Went over my head, too. I thought we were actually going to speculate about Stranger Things. Is that also coming out in October?
Whoa. No. That's like December. Right?
December.
Christmas.
Yeah,
so far away.
Okay, I do have to say a funny thing happened this week on Facebook. Scott Gata, who is the president of Renegade, mm-hmm. had just commented or liked one of his old Facebook profile pictures, and it said Renegade. It was Renegade Studios in the same font as Stranger Things.
I saw that.
And everybody freaked out because it popped back up, and they had just done it just to be cool back a couple of years ago when it first came out, and everybody thought Renegade was coming out with the Stranger Things game this year.
That is funny because I saw it and I didn't. My assumption was, Stranger Things. They must have just got the license for it. This is an announcement. That's not what it was.
No,
totally got me.
He just liked an old post
I remember when you could take your name and make it your name the Stranger Things title screen. You remember
yes.
that?
Yes.
That's probably what they did. That's what.
That's what
like.
They did, yeah. And it's just really old. And he had gone through and commented or liked on some.
Whoops.
So the main thing that I want to hit on. Is with the whole power struggle.
Are we on Stranger Things? Are we okay?
Back you do know Katie Sackhoff is like the rightful ruler who last had the Darksaber before the Mandalorian
in the cartoon,
show.
Right?
Yeah, she was the voice,
right?
So she's totally coming back.
Yes,
and I mean that's the whole reason
that
why
is
you're
the
watching,
Starbuck, right? Yeah. Exactly right. Yes, that's what I'm waiting for.
I didn't know.
I'm lost.
I was watching. Know what they're talking? About.
I didn't know what they're talking about.
I was like, oh, this is fun.
It's so deep.
There's a baby Yoda. I know that.
Right? Baby Force.
But I guess I'm watching for a Darksaber now.
Okay,
so
you
that's
need
great.
To finish season one.
And
I'm not even sure what a Darksaber is. I'm assuming it's a opposite of a lightsaber.
Mm.
So it's dark when it comes out.
No. Just watch the show.
Okay. I kind of want to spoil it for him.
And watch it before the first.
It's better if you don't. If you're not disappointed
with
it.
If you get hit with a Darksaber, do you get your limb back?
No? Okay. I'm you lost. Throw another one.
Oh, perfect.
An extra limb.
Great. It worked for Darth Maul.
Yeah,
that's
this is
true.
Over and over. Several eight legs. What's he got? Okay, well, good. That was fun. That's all I needed. I needed a little action on the sci-fi and geekdom fronts.
Do we have sad news that we have to spoil to our listeners about Tantrum?
Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, do we?
Yeah.
No, but first, we do have,
okay,
if you missed our Saturday morning board game show, You should go back and watch it because there was a super fun reveal that happened on the show.
Yes.
Good news.
That was good news.
That was great news. I think what Kevin is referring to is Tantrum Con 2021 is undergoing renovations. Yeah, I don't know what the word is. Probably postponement. We're maybe looking at maybe a digital event. Hotel issues, publisher, sponsor, attendance, tickets, everything issues. Just trying to make sure we're playing it right and safely and doing it well and the best. And so February is sneaking up on us fast. We are doing a lot of planning we're having a lot of discussions about what would be the best solution. So we've had some really cool ideas that I think would be great alternatives. But we don't have real news on those yet. Other than that, 98% chance that we're probably not doing Tantrum Con in person in February. So stick around for news on that because we love playing games and we want to play them with you guys in person. We'd love to do that. If we can't, we will figure out some kind of solution on the internets. But I think we're going to try to plan maybe a bunch of other smaller events or some other things. I don't know. We'll see. It's all coming together. If you have suggestions, send them to Sarah at Tantrum. Do you have some suggestions?
Hello. Fine. I'll take your suggestions.
Oh, okay, good. That was just the normal Sarah at TantrumHouse.com.
S-A-R-A.
We would love to know what your thoughts are on it. If you are a listener and if you are like, man, I was 100% going to be there in person, then let us know because that would be encouraging and exciting to know. But yeah, stay tuned because we will have details coming soon about some of the other options that we may be bringing. We're still trying to reach out to a bunch of different everybody, publisher, sponsors, vendors, exhibitors, attendees, and trying to make the best decision possible. So stay tuned for more news on that front. But I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out, listening to us rant about games, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Nope. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.